Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast, The Towel in the Basin. Really appreciate you all listening and always grateful to hear when I'm out and about folks that tune into this. And so thank you for doing that. And the podcast is really designed to help you as a believer think about your faith, maybe apply your faith. And so it's broad by intention. We get into theological topics, we get into practical topics and all those types of things. And as you know, this semester with the series we're doing, this whole series this semester is really designed to be an introduction for you to theology itself and sort of be the front door, if you will, of theology to let you kind of enter into the discussions and help you think about what all of this is. And so as you remember from the introduction to this series, we were talking about what we might think of as heads of doctrine and other things like that. And now we get into these podcasts where we begin going into particular areas of consideration. And I'm really excited to have my buddy and fellow colleague here at New Orleans Seminary, Dr. Tyler Whitman, in the studio with us. Tyler, thank you for being here. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. And today we're talking about what we can call a number of different things. We could call it theology proper, or you could just call it the doctrine of God, this sort of head of doctrine. But before we get there, let's just ask the broad question. I've talked about this a little bit in the series already. What is theology? People, I think, have a sense of this, but of course, experts in the discipline think about this in a very particular way. So let's start there first. Broad in general, what is theology?
I mean, most basically, theology, if you just take apart the Greek words that it comes from, mm-hmm. it's a discourse about God.
Okay.
But in a more fulsome sense, in the Middle Ages, they had this kind of almost an adage to describe what theology is. Mm-hmm. And they said it's knowledge of God that comes from God and that leads us to God.
Okay.
And so it's a knowledge of God. Jesus tells us in the High Priestly Prayer, John 17:3, that eternal life consists, right, in knowing the mm-hmm. persons of the Trinity. So knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that knowledge is also from God. He has given us the words that the Father gave to him. We have received them. We have come to know in truth that Jesus is from the Father,
right.
And so forth. But it's also knowledge that leads us to God, because mm-hmm. at the conclusion of that high priestly prayer, Jesus wants us to see his glory,
right
that he has with the Father. So it is this knowledge of God that comes from God that leads us to God, that leads us to communion with these persons, right?
And really all three of those parts of that definition are important. It's the knowledge or discussions of him. But we get that information in the way you're describing it from him. This is not something we just go freestyle on our own.
That's right.
This is not me. Well, for me, God is this, that, or the other. It's important to note in Christian theology that we're talking about the information we have about him from him and then obviously for him. So, okay, good. All right, let's talk about this head of doctrine, because this particular podcast is focusing in on that. What is this thing called theology proper is one way we talk about it, or just the doctrine of God itself. What are we talking about in this particular branch of theology?
Well, you're talking about—
Because this is one of your areas of expertise. That's
this is almost, in some sense, all of theology is just the doctrine of God.
Right.
Okay. Because anything you are talking about, if it's theological, it's saying something about God.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about creation. We're talking about God, the creator. And then the effects of his creative activity. If we're talking about salvation, we're talking about God as our Savior and his saving works and so forth, right? So when we talk about theology proper, we're kind of narrowing the scope a little bit. It's maybe theology in a narrower sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about God himself. Now, God's a pretty big subject. So as one theologian put it, Fred Sanders, he said one time in a lecture, I heard him say, you kind of have to take two breaths, okay?
Yeah.
And so you talk about God according to his unity, his oneness of his essence or his nature. So mm-hmm. you talk about all of God's attributes or perfections and his existence and those sorts of things.
Right.
But you're also going to talk about the distinction between the persons of the Trinity. So you got to take another breath, and then you have this whole Trinitarian discussion. You're not talking about two different gods.
Right.
You're not talking about two different sources of theological knowledge there.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about one and the same God. But we're talking about him on two different kind of tracks.
Right.
To talk about him according to his oneness, talk about him according to the distinction of persons, which there are three persons.
Right.
So,
and as you say, there's a lot to talk about there.
Oh, yeah.
Because as we talk about him as a being, Generally speaking, in the history of theology, we would think about him in terms of attributes, or I don't know, there's debates on those types of things. Mm-hmm. But in the doctrine of God itself, as we think about the God, I've heard you say this before, so I want to be careful that I attribute that language to you.
Yeah.
The godness of God, so to speak.
Yes.
We affirm things about him. And what are the kinds of things that we would typically hear in Christian theology affirmed about God himself?
Yeah, I mean, when I talk about this in church settings, I like to talk about how we have to talk about God's character. Mm-hmm. And a simple way of breaking that down is to talk about the form of his character and also the content of his character. Yeah. And so we know what it's like to talk about character. We talk about character traits, virtues, and so forth,
right?
And I think in 2 Peter 1, Peter draws a kind of analogy between those kind of virtues and God's own perfections or his mm-hmm. virtues. And so I think we talk about his character as a kind of helpful entry point. So when we're talking about God's character, the form of that character is going to be very, very different from anything that we have ever experienced or can know of. He is independent, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't depend on anyone else. He has no source of his life or his existence, right? He is from himself and in himself. So he has aseity, as we say. That just right. means from himselfness. So he's independent. He's also immutable. He's unchanging. He's infinite. He cannot be, you can't wrap your arms around him, right? With your intellect, you certainly can't kind of confine him to a particular space. So he's infinite with regards to space. He's everywhere. He's infinite with regard to time. He mm-hmm. is everlasting, eternal. Mm-hmm. And then he's what we call simple, not in the sense of like, you know, someone is simple and we mean they don't have a lot of intelligence. We mean
right.
he has simplicity. He there's nothing more basic than God.
Right.
He's not made up of parts you can kind of reduce him to.
Right. Like you and me. Perhaps.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So if that's the form of God's character, really, really quickly considered, well, then the content, those would track with the biblical revelation of God's covenant name Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. And here you'd look at things like his glory, his goodness. You'd look at his love, grace, mercy, patience, kindness, the righteousness and holiness of God, the glory and the blessedness of mm-hmm. God. You know, Jesus in the Beatitudes says, "Blessed are the meek," and so he's saying these are the type of people who will commune with God and who will partake. Okay, in the kind of communication, right, the sharing of the kind of characteristics that belong to God,
yeah,
in our own kind of human way.
Now you're describing a cluster of what we might think of as attributes or mm-hmm. characteristics, and a lot of those are really, really important. You know, you've mentioned this idea of him being simple, a mm-hmm. doctrine of simplicity. You've mentioned aseity, that God exists to say in himself of himself. There's a cluster of things you've just said there about him. And historically, that's all been packaged together under sort of a brand of theology. Maybe that's a bad way of saying it. I don't know. A brand of theology or an approach to theology called classical theism. Is that accurate? And if so, maybe tell us a little bit about that tradition.
Yeah. So
maybe even some people in that tradition.
Yeah. You know, you think of Augustine. Mm-hmm. You think of Gregory of Nazianzus. You think of all the greats, Anselm right. of Canterbury, Aquinas. There's a lot of names that begin with A, oddly enough. But, you know, you've even got Duns Scotus in there, some names people haven't heard of. You know, you could put John Wesley and John Calvin together and, you know, Martin Luther. There's a lot of differences between these theologians on a lot of important issues.
Right.
But broadly considered, they have a lot of the same key mm-hmm. convictions they hold together. Now, none of these guys would have described themselves as a classical theist.
Right.
So that language is language that comes along in the 20th century, I think. I'm not entirely sure, but it's polemical language that's used to kind of categorize the old stuff that needs to be replaced by some kind of new movements. But in a very broad and loose sense, if we allow for a lot of diversity, we can say, it encompasses a very traditional way of looking at God as having some of these kinds of things like I've talked about, simplicity, aseity, and so forth.
Yeah, and just to underscore a couple things there, so our again, this is designed for folks out there that haven't gone to seminary or anything else like that to help them make sure they're catching what you're saying. You mentioned names like Calvin or Wesley, which in a lot of the debates today, you're looking at what we would think of as very opposite ends of the perspective. You know, one from the Reformed side, one from an Arminian side. And you've mentioned that traditionally throughout our history, these have been the kinds of things we've said. So really in our world, a lot of the sort of polar opposites that you're seeing, all of them belong in that tradition where we would have, you know, maybe we would have nuanced some things in various ways or different ways. But traditionally speaking, Christianity has said these kinds of things about God. Now, you mentioned in the 20th century that language of classical is brought about for polemical reasons to sort of pit groups, because we have had in the last 100 years, and really even before that, some alternative ways of thinking about God coming out of modernity and the Enlightenment and some things like that. So what are some sort of contemporary, quote unquote, alternative ways that theologians have started conceiving of God, perhaps in recent history?
Yeah, there's a broad group of what you might call process theists, mm-hmm. where they really see God and the world as kind of intertwined with one another.
Right.
And so God develops with the world. Mm-hmm. He suffers with the world, these kinds of things. He's learning. There are some more evangelical offshoots of this. Mm. We call it open theism,
right.
where, you know, the basic gambit is that, well, God doesn't really know, okay, the kinds of bad things that happen, like sin and suffering and these right. kinds of things. But he's got enough wisdom and resources to kind of be reliable nonetheless.
Right.
He's going to make this go somewhere good.
Right.
But nevertheless, all of these moves basically make God limited in some sense
right.
by his interaction with the world.
Yeah.
And so if you even back up further, you can see that even behind those kind of movements and other movements that would be really complicated to get into, there are a difference between the classical way of looking at things, which sees that the form of God's character really makes him what we would call incomprehensible to us. Mm-hmm. He's a mystery to us.
Right.
So we can know him, but we can't exhaust what there is to know of him. We can't know him the way that we even know ourselves, right? There's mystery is the lifeblood of dogmatics. It's a quote by Herman Bavinck. And that's a very classical thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more modern movements want to really kind of tone down the mystery and ramp up the transparency
right.
of God's life with my own life, with my own emotions, my own feelings and affects, my own sense of limitations and finitude. So then God becomes this kind of correlate, right,
yeah.
to something in the world. And as the world pulls, God has to kind of give a little bit. And if he pulls, then the world has to give. And it's this kind of tug of war. And so the big contrast, I think, is between seeing God as a holy mystery and then seeing God as something like just a really big person who's got issues like you and I do.
Right. A stripped-down version of God, something more like us, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a big capital P person. There's a famous philosopher of religion, Brian Davies, and he wrote an article back in the late 90s, early 2000s, something, where he said if he had to kind of write to somebody and tell them, here's the big kind of debates going on. He said it's between people who think of God as basically like a mystery, people who right. see him as a big dude.
Right. Yeah.
So.
So in generally speaking, within our tradition, while there's debates about things, generally speaking, in our tradition as Southern Baptist, we would all really roughly be team classical in this, wherein we're holding to these historic concepts of God that the church has always affirmed, that cluster of characteristics and features that you've mentioned earlier. This is where we would be. Is that a fair assessment of where we stand?
I think more or less.
Yeah. There's debates within that about mm-hmm. things in the Trinity and Christology and stuff, which we'll get into in some other podcasts and such. But all right, real quick, as an introduction, because again, this podcast is designed for folks to just get their feet wet. Really, I said this to you off before we hit record. I think of it as introducing our listener to the kinds of topics and questions so that now you're not afraid to pick up a book and start reading. You've heard of some of this stuff before. So with that in mind, a resource. If a person wanted to follow along in this series or maybe even follow up on what you and I've talked about here, what would be a go-to resource that you'd say, start here?
It's a great question. I think I got two answers. So one would be a really short series that Crossway's putting out, the short studies in systematic theology. There's little individual volumes.
Okay.
They're bite-sized looks at particular doctrines.
Mm.
The one on the Trinity is just insanely good.
Okay.
Who's
the author there?
Scott Swain is the author of that one. But there's a lot of individual volumes. I'm forgetting all the names of them right now, but they're all good.
Okay. And what's the name of the series again?
The name of the series is The Short Studies in Systematic Theology by Crossway.
All right.
So I think that's a reliable kind of entry point. More volumes are coming out year after year.
Yep.
And then if you want a one-stop kind of look at something. I mentioned him before, Herman Bavinck. He's got a volume he wrote for laypersons, and it's called The Wonderful Works of God.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful look at theology and its full coherence.
Yeah. Okay. Spell Bavinck for our listener. B-A-V-I-N-C-K. C-K. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, pick him up. Check it out. It's a great resource. Hey, I appreciate you, man. And I appreciate you bringing this stuff for our folks and giving them an introduction. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Hey, everybody. This is Jamie and Joe again.
If you like this podcast, would you leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts? That helps other people find it.
And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear about them. Just go to jamiedew.com/questions and send them in that way, and we'll take a look at the most frequently asked questions and give them a shot.